want to say something about this whole deal with Biden. You know, they installed Biden by grossly cheating in the 2020 election. And you know what? I'll go to my grave saying there is no way Biden got 81 million votes. There's no way. Everyone knows that. And that's more than Barack Obama. Even though I didn't vote for Barack Obama, at least he was legitimately popular. No, they, the Democratic establishment installed Biden so they can take him out. And that's exactly what they did a few days ago. They took him out. They installed him and they took him out. So you watch with Kamala Harris. Something could happen to her if she turns out to be not what they wanted. Thank you. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Well, that was our friend Ricardo. He's actually from Alabama, father of nine kids, pastor, and he calls a lot, and we appreciate it because he always leaves good comments. So many of the rest of you have left good comments as well, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to hear from you. If you would like to call, it's the number is 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. And about Ricardo, I always am very honored when I hear my listeners that are like either writing or calling and saying things that they've heard me say, even if they don't remember I said it. And in this case, you did echo a lot of the things that I've said on the air, and that's gratifying. I've said all along that Kamala Harris is, if she starts to fail, they'll find a way to get rid of her too. Now, things are beginning to shift, so I'm not sure. It may be too far into the process now to do that, but we're just watching. Isn't this an amazing thing to watch? It is really actually frightening. If we didn't have a mighty God, I would be a nervous wreck. But we do have a mighty God, and no matter what happens, we know that we can trust him. Perhaps we can have a longer discussion about that at some point. Well, before we get into your messages and your phone calls, there's this. With the availability of the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom has become the scene of the crime, where she tragically expels her child. I'm talking about abortion. Over 60% now of abortions happen through this dreaded, horrible pill. It's two pills, really. I've explained that to you before. The first pill actually kills the baby, and the second expels it. Just so gruesome. And one way to counter that is by helping preborn to show the pictures of babies inside the womb to the moms. And most mothers, the majority of the mothers, decide not to terminate the life of their babies once they see their baby. It's a miracle. It's just a natural thing. It's not a trick. It's just a real deal. It's truth in pictures, 4D ultrasound pictures. And so it works. It's a wonderful way to sidestep all of these obstacles, the people that still love killing babies, the abortionists, the rabid left. It's just amazing. But it's, you know, maybe this is a way to reach them too. Who knows? But if you go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation, that is the very best way, I think, to stop abortion right now. All right, here we go. Stay tuned. Fasten your seatbelt. Lay down on a pillow. But enjoy this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Hi, Sandy. This is Geneva. And I was just thinking this morning, more and more I find myself turning off conservative commentators and Christian commentators that are constantly telling me we need to message this and message that to combat this overwhelming wall of misinformation, lies, and communism, all the stuff that's coming from the left in order for us to be able to bring this country back to where it needs to be. And it's also overwhelming and so confusing at times. And I just think that as Christians, we need to stop and we need to have one message for people, especially lost people, and that's to tell them about Jesus. Tell them about God. Tell them how much he loves them. And tell your story. Just like you tell your story, we need to all tell our own personal story of what Jesus has done for us. And this morning, I'm just thinking that's more and more what I'm going to do. That's my message. I'm going to vote right, and I'm going to talk about the one who can save us all, Jesus. Love you, Sandy. Love your Bruce. In Jesus' name, I say bye.
All right, Geneva, how lovely. I love your voice. By the way, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7, and I think you're spot on. We're living in dangerous times, and I think even before we get into the email, because they'll talk about specific issues and topics, I think we need to do that. I don't think we, and I'm not suggesting that you're saying this, Geneva, that we can stick our head in the sands. Oh, that we could. But I also don't think we can be ruled, dominated by the topics of the day. I was thinking about this. Bruce, I should bring you in here. Good morning, sweetheart.
Hey, good morning.
You know, we just went through a hurricane here in Florida, and we were not hit, but we got the residual. So we had tons of rain and lots of wind. Yeah, and a tree behind our house, like groaning, like it's going to fall on our roof. We did. And I lost internet for a couple of days. But here's the thing with hurricanes. This is what we've learned, because we're from the Midwest. We've used to tornadoes and that kind of thing, or regular summer storms. But with hurricanes, they give you lots of warning. They'll say it's coming next week or in 10 days, but they're not sure, and they're not sure about the severity. It could be a level 1. It could be a level 4. They're not sure about that. They're not sure exactly. It might hit here. It might hit here, and they're not sure. But you know it's going to hit. You're just not sure about the details. And it unfolds very slowly, doesn't it, Bruce?
It does.
Remember the first time we were here?
By 1,000 paper cuts.
Yeah, we just waited and waited and waited. And, you know, you get to be kind of a skeptic. But it does finally hit in whatever degree it hits. My point is this. I just thought about this because I've been consumed myself and, you know, discouraged and just feeling the weight of all of this as I have in the past. And I thought, this is very much like preparing for a hurricane. We know that something bad is happening, and it's coming. We don't really know how bad it's going to be, on whether it will be a 1 or a 4. We don't really know exactly where it's going to hit the hardest, but we have to be prepared. So Bruce and I had to go, you know, we needed water. We needed a generator. We needed to pull things in from outside. You did all that, Bruce. I should be asking you. You're the one who does all those preparations. But we had to go through those things. We had to prepare. And we had to know. We couldn't just turn off the radio and forget about it. But we greeted it with calm, because it's the nature of a hurricane. And we're facing a hurricane in the world. I haven't even had a chance to tell you what I'm seeing worldwide. In England, they are under such great distress. The Islamists have so overwhelmed them, and England's been allowing this for a long time. But it's gone to the point where they have a plan. They want to call it Londistan as soon as they take power. And, of course, the mayor of London, the longtime mayor, was a Muslim. I'm not sure if he's still in power now or not. But people on the streets are out now. Londoners, Englanders who've been there for, you know, generations, are beginning to fight back. Three little girls were actually killed because they were at a Taylor Swift concert and they were knifed to death. So that's just one incident. But here's the distressing thing. In England, the police are now beginning to treat the people that have been there for generations as the people that are the terrorists, and not the Islamists who have taken over politically and in every other way. Some of my friends in England have said, in fact, 6 months ago, Bruce, we heard at CPAC that England is just gone. But I found myself not really believing it. But now I'm hearing all of these things, and I'm seeing the riots on the street. In Bangladesh, there's just been a coup. And the person that's taken over is a Muslim. And now there's all-out persecution against Hindus and Christians. And we're finding in Sweden, the rape rate in Sweden has gone up exponentially because of the infiltration. The fact that the EU demanded that the borders allow mobs of Islamic men coming into these communities. It's transforming Europe. And, of course, that's not the only problem, but it is transforming us, too. We don't know what's going to happen. But I have one more illustration. Bruce and I are big on these really great series. We watch a lot of series about Nazis. They're great. No, I'm kidding. But and also Cold War era things. This is very interesting to us. And then certainly Great Britain. And we were watching All Creatures Great and Small, which I highly recommend to each and every one of you. They have a relatively new season out, and it's just marvelous. But the war is beginning to start. This starts out back in the 30s, and then it gets up to World War II. And the war is coming on, and they're going about their business, making their tea, and they have this conversation, and it goes like this. They've just invaded France, right? Yes, they have. That's very close, isn't it? That's very close to us, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'll put on a pot of tea. And the theme is, for the Brits, has always been that they carry on. They carry on. Mustn't grumble. That's another saying. Mustn't grumble. They carry on. They are stalwart and courageous, and they never gave up during World War II, even though they took this horrendous battering with the Nazi bombs, with the Luftwaffe. So my theme is going to be, before we even start these conversations, we can do this, whatever this is. Whenever it hits, however hard it is, whether it's this Kamala Harris and her new running mate taking over and making us lurch further to the left and possibly off the cliff, that's possible. Whether President Trump is elected and things go well for a long time, or they don't, or there's a backlash. I heard that the left is planning on riots and to stop or stall the certification of the election if he should win. And they have a complete plan on how to cause chaos if that happens. So everywhere we turn, there's an obstacle and there's bad news, but there's also good news. And so we mustn't grumble. We must put on a pot of tea, get some water at the grocery store, get some a generator, and prepare, but don't run from it. Face it full on, trusting God. So that's my speech. All right, honey, let's talk. We've received a lot of email from all of you. Not all of you, but some of you. So you've got some of it. What surprised me, honey. What have you got over there?
Well, it was interesting. sometimes when we do these shows, a lot of it is sort of lathering us up and congratulating us, and it's almost embarrassing. And this time, what I have is more challenging emails, and I think that's good. Because we're in challenging times, and we have to know how to respond to people. And this is a complaint that we often hear. It's from Chaplain Linda, and she writes, "Hello, I am writing in regards to your show on July 15th, 2024. Near the end of the show, your husband Bruce made the comments that those who would not vote for Mr. Trump because of his pettiness were, quote, small, quote, and shame on them. I try to listen regularly to your podcast. During the primaries, I did not hear either of you encourage your listeners to vote for Governor Ron DeSantis. In my voting lifetime, he has been the most conservative choice with both principle and actions of getting things done. I, as a Christian, care deeply about. However, my fellow Americans felt otherwise. I understand it is your right, your choice to whom you and your husband choose to vote for. But to try and bully and shame your listeners into voting for Mr. Trump is beneath you both. I had hoped you both would hold Mr. Trump accountable for his decision to pivot the RNC to the left on abortion and marriage. Yes, Mr. Trump now rules the RNC. I voted for Mr. Trump twice, realizing he was not a conservative. He was the better choice in 2016 and 2020. Now we have three liberals in the race, sadly. Believers must pray after fact-gathering and vote their conscience. Chaplain Linda."
Okay, honey, you big bully. Let's talk about it. Now, and I don't mean to, Linda, that's a good concern, and I think we should address it, and we will. So, Bruce, tell Linda what your defense of yourself
on
that.
And I knew, Linda, and I understand your concerns. I knew as soon as I made that comment that was probably going to be, what I would say, misinterpreted by people. From your email, it looks like you're saying that I bullied people into voting for Trump for no reason. That is not what I said. Respectfully, that is not what I said. What I said is you need to look at the candidates, and if you feel like Trump is the better candidate, but you're refusing to vote for him because he has mean tweets or he's not a nice person, then I think that makes you kind of petty and kind of small, because our country is hanging in the balance. And I, you know, and there's a lot of people that feel the way you do, unfortunately, in my opinion. I've heard a lot of people say they might sit this election out even though they would vote for Donald Trump. And I have to tell you, if you're not going to vote, then I don't think you should complain. And a non-vote is a vote for the opposition, because it's one less vote they have to get. I think a lot of this is being done out of, forgive me, I think a lot of people are virtue signaling. You know, I have never sat behind this microphone, I know Sandy hasn't either, and said that Donald Trump is a perfect man, that he has no faults, that you should not, you know, that you should vote for him because he's a wonderful guy. That is not what we say. And I would also take exception with you about saying that I have never supported Ron DeSantis. I have supported Ron DeSantis endlessly. He's my governor. I think he's the best politician we've ever seen. I think Trump is the best leader about getting a national party, but I think Ron DeSantis is the best governor in the United States.
Let me jump in, honey. I think Linda, right? Chaplain Linda?
Yes.
Yeah. Linda, maybe you are confusing a couple of things, because I intentionally did not endorse President Trump in the primary. If you did not hear that from me, I promise you, because we did love Ron DeSantis, and we weren't sure. Early on, we weren't sure that President Trump would even, you know, would be viable, because so many things had changed. And I did feel that Ron DeSantis was an incredible candidate, so I'm with you on that. But neither did I endorse him, because I felt that there were so many moving parts. And you can see that there are. There have been many, many moving parts. I think it was okay, whoever people endorsed in the primary, I was okay with that, and I did not want to weigh in on that until the decision was made. But when President Trump became the candidate, that's when I've started to support him, and I do support him. I think we have to. I mean, we've seen, I'm sure you wrote that to us before Kamala Harris. Perhaps you wrote it before she became the candidate. I don't know. But you talk about abortion. You're very concerned about that, and you know I am too, and I hate what happened on the platform committee. I think I was really clear about that. Perhaps you didn't hear those shows either. If you go back, you'll hear me taking that on. I don't know if that came from President Trump. I happen to know that the two campaign managers are really anti-conservative. Go figure how this happened. And they are really kind of like attack dogs with us. And they treated evangelicals very badly. So that's a fact. And I think that needs to be dealt with. But here's also a fact. We now have the most pro-radical, horrendous abortion procedure vice president and president now, candidates for the Democratic Party. It's a game changer. You may have heard us say earlier this week that Tim Walz actually signed a law in the state of Minnesota to make it possible to have abortion all 9 months. And we have on record, because they kept health records in the early days of his governorship, and then he passed a law to stop keeping those records. I don't have the records in front of me, but something like 9 babies in one particular year were aborted at 9 months and lived through it, and they let them die. This is what we're talking about. Kamala Harris was the presidential candidate who went after David Dow Leiden when he went undercover and got tapes of Planned Parenthood people, doctors, directors of the clinic, committing themselves to wanting to buy the parts of unborn babies for a huge profit. One of them bragged that she'd even buy a Lamborghini. Kamala Harris was the attorney general in the state of California. That happened under her watch, and who did she go after? She went after David Dalyden, the one that broke those videos. She put all of his videos in a... She seized all of his information, all of his computers, and we're just now hearing some of the worst, most incriminating undercover videos that he had. And then she got an award from Planned Parenthood, and she's gotten lots of money from Planned Parenthood. So you tell me now. You tell me now. You want to vote for, not for President Trump, you didn't say that, but you're indicating that you have a problem with us saying you need to vote for him. He is the most pro-life candidate. He, along with J.D. Vance, is more pro-life than President Trump. So yes, I support him and I support J.D. Vance, and I don't think there's a question about that now. I think that's what Bruce is trying to say. If people listen to that, and there's a lot more issues. There's a lot more issues, trust me, and they are moral issues. If you're bankrupting the country and your kids are going to have nothing but debt, never own a home, not have a future, that's moral too. And so there are a lot of reasons to support this team. And if people, Christians, are not supporting Donald Trump because he calls people names, because he's very uncareful about his speech, because he had affairs, he's had multiple marriages, because he said something on a Billy Bush interview where he said what he said about women. You know what? I am not going to vote for him because of those things. In the light of what we're talking about here, life and death of the unborn and other issues, that has to go into oblivion. You cannot consider it. And I think it's even clearer now. And Linda, I don't want to offend you. I'm sure that you're a very godly, you must be. I bet you do great work wherever you are. And I'm asking you to reconsider and put in perspective what Bruce said and what we're both saying about that. Okay, something along the same thing, Bruce. I have an email from Vicki from Ohio. Hi, Vicki. And she says, I'm 70 and a longtime listener. A younger friend of mine has been posting concerns about Project 2025. Could you cover this on an upcoming show? Well, Vicki, I haven't yet, and I should. I have a great article I was going to share with you, but guess what? I cannot access it online. I've actually written to the author and told him I cannot access it online. He's actually sent me a special link, and I still can't access it. So I can tell you what I know about it, because, you know, the powers that be are after all of us to hide that. Project 2025 has been a joint project of, I believe, I'm guessing because I couldn't read the information, but it's like a 100 at least conservative organizations, and it's policy plans that would be the gold standard for conservatives and Christians for a Trump presidency if it happens in 2024. So it covers everything, and it also, they've been vetting candidates to recommend to him. So what happened with this? Well, you've probably seen it in the news. Suddenly the news has made Project 2024 like this really big deal, like Project 2025. They've made this because he's going to be serving in the year 2025. They've made this huge deal, like this is a horrible, horrible idea. In fact, his campaign manager, which I will tell you, it's Chris Lasavita. Chris has gone after Project 2025 like it's Dracula with the cross. He hates it because I told you he doesn't like conservatives. He's not one of us. He isn't. And so because of that, and President Trump has allowed it, yes, you could say that. I'd say President Trump has been pretty busy. When they first started coming after Project 2025, he was still in court. And I'm sure he was not tracking these details. I wish he would interject and tell Chris Lasavita, you know, to shut up. I'd be happy with that. But he hasn't, and we don't know the reasons. But I can tell you who it's coming from. It's Chris Lasavita and Susie Wiles who are heading the campaign. Those are the ones that are not Christian-friendly. So Project 2025 is under attack, but it's actually really silly because this did not come out of the Trump camp. It certainly didn't come out of his aides. It came out of heritage of all kinds of Christian or conservative and Christian organizations, and it's a great piece. if you go to Heritage Foundation, it's got pages and pages and pages. So you need to be really serious about looking at it. But it's called Project 2025 Mandate for Leadership, and you can get it at heritage.org. So that's that. So, okay, sweetheart, what you got over there?
I have one from Jim, and I think this is an issue that really frustrates a lot of us. It's about people burning American flags in public. And here's his comment. It says, the preamble's protection and navigation. The Supreme Court created this abominable interpretation of the First Amendment that lends its way for public desecration of the American flag as protected political speech, which usually follows other forms of violence and destruction. Public desecration of the U.S. flag should be understood as being treasonous. The preamble of the Constitution is the corrective lens in interpreting the First Amendment, the indispensable component being, where is the voice of the people on this question? And I think that raises a great question and a great frustration for many of us, Jim, even though this has been decided since 1989. In 1989, there was a case before the Supreme Court called Texas versus Johnson, and Texas had a law prohibiting the burning in public of an American flag. And the Supreme Court upheld, actually went against the law of Texas and ended up going against the law of 48 of the 50 states that prohibited the burning of American flags in public. And there's only a few categories of speech that are not protected by the First Amendment. That would be defamation, incitement to lawlessness, true threats against people or a group, or discriminatory harassment, in other words, keeping somebody from doing something. I think it frustrates all of us when, like what we saw happen in Washington, D.C. this week, where Hamas protesters burned the American flag right in the middle of Washington, D.C. And I think it's important that we do go to the preamble of the Constitution. I'm not sure that it covers what you say, Jim, but I think it's important that we really remember these words. Here it is. It's 56 words. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense and general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So I understand where you're coming from. This seems like it's an incitement that it's creating lawlessness, and I would agree with you on that, but I just wanted to explain to you a little bit of what the court looked at when it made this decision. I don't think it's going to change, unfortunately, but I will say, if you talk about incitement to violence, as I watched those people from Hamas burn that American flag, I have to tell you, it incited me.
Yeah. Did you say it was 1989?
1989.
I thought it was earlier than that, because I would have thought it would have been during the 70s when they started burning flags, the Vietnam protesters. That's the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. Well, we have a theme going here. You know, Bruce and I have to tell you, I was just talking to him last night about how dreadful the news is, and we've gotten more information that we won't have time to share. We can't say everything. It's just not possible. It's pretty overwhelming. But we're going to try to hit the high spots as much as the low spots, I guess, as much as we possibly can. But last night, one of the things that we try to do is, one of the things I can do now that I don't do the morning show is I can watch television with Bruce at night. We usually start late, and we do a couple of hours each night, and it's fun. And we do some series that we enjoy, like I said, All Creatures Great and Small, which I'll plug again on. It's on Prime. It's just such a great series. It's uplifting. And that's why we watch it, because we get so much of the news. And could I recommend to all of you that we've been watching old movies. We're looking for Fiddler on the Roof. We're looking for things that can lift our spirits. And, of course, God's Word. And any kind of thing that I would just recommend to all of you, that you look for things that at night when I go to bed now, I'm listening right now because I like to listen to things and it kind of helps me relax. I'm listening to Randy Alcorn's book on heaven. I'm listening over and over again because it encourages me. So I'm just encouraging all of you to make sure you spend time in God's Word every day. Spend time praying. It's not a duty. It's a joy because He fills us with His Spirit, cleanses us, and gives us hope. And I can attest to that. Otherwise, I would be dead by now. I don't think I could have taken all the information I've taken in through the years and lived through to tell you about it. This is from Karen. And she says, she wrote this to AFR in general, and I'm included on this. So this is a broader inquiry. She said, if you weren't convinced before, hopefully you are now. What an affront to God Almighty. And she includes an article by LifeSite News. It says, GOP closed out day one of its national convention with a prayer to the pagan god Wawa Guru. And so let me read you a little bit of this because it's important that you know what they're talking about. Some of you have heard of Harmeet Dhillon. Harmeet was the woman that ran to head the RNC to beat Ronna McDaniel. And she lost, but it was a real fight. And she's done a great job on election integrity and other things like that. But she ended the first night of the convention with a Hindu prayer because she was invited to do that. So this is what LifeSite says. Last night's opening session of the GOP National Convention, which earlier in the day had officially nominated Donald J. Trump as the party's 2024 presidential candidate, closed out with a prayer to a God other than Jesus Christ, the genderless God of the Sikh religion that believes in rebirth and karma. Correction on the Hindu thing. She's Sikh. I didn't realize that. High-profile Republican attorney Harmeet Dhillon took to the podium, covered her head, and chanted the Ardas prayer to Wahguru, our one true God, seeking blessing upon and protection for the candidacy of former President Trump. And then it goes on to say, Christian commentators were troubled by what they interpreted to be an affront to Catholics and evangelical Christians who comprise the vast majority of the Republican Party, dangerously implying that all religions are equal. And I'll go one more paragraph here. It says, the prayer was also seen by some as a way of distancing the GOP from national conservatism. All right, so here's the thing. Karen, I don't disagree with this, and I certainly don't disagree with that last description. I've just told you that the two people leading the campaign and working on all of this are not friendly to Christians. And yes, I'm sure they would like to bend the arc to the Republican Party not being so Christian. And they are trying to do that. The RNC is not a Christian organization. The politicians and consultants, for the most part, are not that. One thing that's interesting, and you may or may not know this, but when it comes to the mechanics of elections, we work within a two-party system, and that's just what we have. If you want to be involved in the political part of this, you have to be a Republican or a Democrat, and you have to join the party system. It starts with precinct captains, and then it goes up to the various positions that they have in the hierarchy of whichever party that you're interested in. In the Republican Party, there are a lot of, you know, there's county chairman, there are all kinds of things. And the truth is, this is the truth. If you really want to have something to do about what happens on the platform, what happens at the convention, you have to work through them. Most evangelical Christians, I'll just tell you right now, hardly any of them are really involved with the party because they don't want to mess with the meetings, the trouble, the phone calls. It's a lot of work, and it's really messy. Politics is really, really messy. And most evangelicals don't want to mess with that. So they are involved in the sense that they are, at this point, mostly Republican. And by the way, pathetically, they hardly vote. Percentage-wise, Christians hardly vote. But the ones that do are fervent, and they do make up the majority, I think, of the Republican Party right now. But they're not involved in party politics and the nuts and bolts. And so their interests are not represented in the things that happen. So we have consultants who are very far from that, and we are seeing that in the ways we've just discussed. So how do we handle that? How do we handle that an Indian woman, Harmeet Dhillon, prayed the closing prayer Well, I don't know. I would just tell you that the Republican Party is not a church. Oh, how I wish it were, but it isn't. It's not a church. And the people, because the country is diverse now, the party is diverse. It's not a party just of Christians anymore. There are a lot of gays who are joining, who are conservative on other issues. There are people of other faiths. There are a lot of Jews who don't believe in Jesus, for heaven's sake. You do know that, right? And so they pray to God, you know, Yahweh, but they don't pray to Jesus, and they certainly don't pray in his name, and yet they pray. So you have to think how you can reason your way through this. Are we now, given the circumstances of our country, where there are people of all kinds of stripes and colors and backgrounds who agree on abortion, let's say, who agree on, spending, shall we say, not having such a high debt, or on the border, they don't want their country invaded. Are we to say to all those people, as Republicans now, not as Christians, no, you can't be part of this because you're not like the Christian wing of this movement? See, we can't do that. And I realize it's a terrible adjustment. And I guess what we have to do is what we saw happening at that convention. And that was that, as I said before, a few podcasts ago, when I talked about what happened on that stage, it was miraculous, the last two nights anyway, that the individuals that they chose, for the most part, they came up, talked about God, they talked about Jesus, they talked about life change. And at the end, there was, Franklin Graham gave a prayer, and there was a holy hush all over that room. And while the powers that be, La Civita and Susie Wiles, wanted that platform to be watered down because they were embarrassed by the strong values presented in the old platform, when J.D. Vance got up there and President Trump talked about life, I believe that God took over in spite of rules, regulations, and Hindu prayer, or Sikh prayers. I just think he did. So I just would encourage you to think a little differently about this, Karen. I know it's upsetting. And she goes on to say, we have to take a stand as Christ followers, and we have to find another candidate to vote for in November. So I totally disagree with you, Karen. You can't. It's not possible. And if you, enough of people who feel the way you do, peel away, then we're going to have Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, the most pro-abortion candidates we've ever had in our life, pro-open borders, a pro-Green New Deal, pro-spending, anti-Second Amendment. Now, some would argue that that's not the case with Tim Walz. We get into that later. But trust me, he's left of the left, and we're finding out more things about him. You don't want him, Karen. You don't want Kamala Harris. So I just beg you to reconsider your concerns about that, and we can address that at a later date when we take back our country in a different way. All right, sweetheart, you got something over there?
I do. I have one from Gina, and I think she hits a good point here. She talks about fake leftist nomenclature. Dear AFR, we need to stop using their fake words. There's no such thing as, quote, transgender surgery. It's sexual mutilation, and its goal is to mock God. That would be a good campaign slogan for them, the God mockers. May God speed your ministry, Gina. Well, Gina, I think you're right. We do have to talk in terms that people can understand what we're talking about, but also not give credence that it is legitimate just because it's a term that's used. You know, the left is great at labeling things. You know, Sandy's taught me over the years, you know, like they refer to abortion clinics as women's reproductive health centers. They talk about themselves as being pro-choice. Barack Obama had his Affordable Health Care Act. And we often find that that is the last thing that these things really are. And I agree with you. It would be a good thing to call these people God mockers, because that's what they are. They're mocking that God created man and woman, that he created the world, that he created people to be what they're created. And I couldn't agree with you more.
Hi there. This is Abby Bonchager from Goshen, Indiana. And I just wanted to thank Sandy for airing the complete speech of Netanyahu. It was so moving and just helped me to understand the whole issue. So good move on Sandy's part. Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
You're welcome, Abby. That's so sweet. Goshen, Indiana. Man, that's home turf for Ray Bolts was from Goshen, Indiana. Ray and I were the first artists with Diet M Records 100 years ago. That was 1989-88. And, of course, Ray has gone on to, he came out as a gay man, which was gut-wrenching for me. He had a great, he's the one that recorded, for those of you that are believers, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving to the Lord. He's the one that wrote and recorded that. It was just a great tune, and so many others. But anyway, that's Goshen, Indiana. And Abby, thanks. Netanyahu is under fire right now, big time. And I really am glad I played that whole thing, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's good to have your feedback. Let me read this one, Bruce. Actually, I should do this in sections because it's long. This is, oh, I think it's Allison. Hi, Sandy. I have been listening to you for years now and thoroughly enjoy hearing your insight on current affairs, always through a biblical lens. I have often thought of reaching out to you and now to your sweetheart, Bruce. Hi, sweetheart, Bruce.
Hello.
Many times over the years. So now I have finally been stirred to write. So here goes. The first question that I have been wanting to ask you for ages is, what in the world has happened to Jeff Sessions? I often wonder why, how different things would have been for President Trump and our country if he had not so quickly resigned as Trump's attorney general. He disappeared into the ether, and it's strange to me he hasn't been heard from publicly in years. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I considered him a real friend, and I think it was mutual. And I honestly can't tell you what he's doing now, Allison. I know he's back in Alabama, and certainly he's gone. He's just, he has disappeared, you're right. You know, just to recap that, people may not remember that he was President Trump's attorney general. He really loved Jeff Sessions, because Jeff was the best one in the Senate on immigration and amnesty. He was wonderful on that, just a bulldog. I used to play clips of his speeches on the floor all the time in the Senate. And just a gentleman and a real patriot, and just someone that I admired so much, and so many people do, as a matter of fact. But what happened was, he was set up by, now we know, the bad actors who were working in Trump's administration. And they set Jeff Sessions up, and I can't remember all the details now, but Jeff, I think, had such honor. He was a man of such honor that he was taken aback, and the accusations made him feel that he must resign to show his honor. And that's what he did, and he did it quickly. And it caused all kinds of problems. I think he was encouraged to resign by the powers that be. The Justice Department is such a dreadful place. And so I think he was embarrassed. After such a fine, so many years of fine service in the Senate, it was really a shame. But that's what the left does. They love to destroy. And I think that's what they did. They destroyed a good man who had many years of service left in his life. So that's the answer about Jeff. And that, Bruce, let me have you answer this one. She says, this again, we're reading an email from Allison, and she's from Virginia. She said, I have not heard anyone ask about who the person is that suggested holding the Trump rally in Butler. Anyway, she said she's suspicious, and I think we need to know. If what happened in Butler took more time to plan than less than 2 weeks that it was made public, then I am concerned that there may be someone within the Trump circle who might wish him ill, in addition to the Secret Service. It certainly wouldn't be the first time he's been betrayed by his inner circle. As has been said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So who was in charge orchestrating this rally? Do you have any insights into who suggests or picks the rally sites? It makes me very concerned for future events. You want to respond to that, Bruce? I know you didn't have a chance to really look this up, but what your gut feeling on this?
Well, I think as far as picking where they're going to go, obviously, if you look at the two campaigns, they're really focusing on what are called the battleground states, and Pennsylvania is one of them. And, you know, Donald Trump, it's always difficult for a Republican to win Pennsylvania. It's kind of a strange state. It's dominated by Pittsburgh, Philadelphia and Harrisburg. Those are the strongholds of the liberals. And the rest of the state is fairly conservative. And I think the reason Butler was chosen is it's very close to Pittsburgh. It's Western PA. It's the kind of people that have been hurt by the current administration. So that's my guess, and that's all it is a guess, is they picked it because they want to target those people to switch them to Republican voters. But
and I'm guessing it's a campaign. It was a campaign decision.
Yeah.
I listen.
Everything is on the table right now as to what happened on this assassination attempt. But I would have to say that someone within the Trump circle setting this up, I would say, is not at the forefront of what I think happened. What I do think happened, though, is that the Secret Service has been playing very fast and loose with its protection of Donald Trump. As you've heard, the way people are supposed to be protected by the Secret Service, the quality and the quantity of the protection is based upon the current threat level to that person. I would submit that no one has a higher threat level than Donald Trump right now. Even Joe Biden, I know he's the president, but Donald Trump has a higher threat level. And what I would say happened with the Secret Service, based upon what we've seen, is they did not, I don't think they participated in the actual assassination attempt of President Trump, but I do think that they created the situation where it was like assassination attempt by omission, because the Secret Service has not been protecting Donald Trump up to the degree of threat that is made against him. And if you watch that if you watch Cheadle, who was the director of the Secret Service the day of the attempt of assassination, and then Roe, who was her second in command, by the way, who then became the acting director after Cheadle stepped down, the answers are inconsistent to the questioning of Congress, and they're shady. It's just like when Christopher Wray testifies for the FBI. When they want to expand on a question, boy, they go to town if it's anti-Trump. But when they're asked specifics, they always revert to, well, it's an ongoing investigation. I don't have that in front of me. You know, just the most basic facts. That what are you doing here if you don't know this? You know, and they're asked, you know, how many agents were at the rally? They don't know. How do you not know?
Well, and also notice now, Bruce, it's almost gone silent.
Yes.
In the news. It's like a president was nearly assassinated, a former president and a candidate now for president, and it's gone silent.
And now there's been another plot uncovered. An Iranian was just arrested inside the United States trying to make an assassination deal. He was willing to pay what turned out to be undercover law enforcement. I believe it's $500 million to assassinate Donald Trump. And once again, the federal government will not specifically say it was Donald Trump that was to be assassinated. Let me say this. If someone's paying $500 million to assassinate somebody, do you think it's someone other than Donald Trump? I doubt it very highly. But that story came and went in about a day.
See how many wonderful topics we have to talk about. There's just everything's just dreadful. But we have a lighter response. I'm going to continue. Allison has a few more questions, and they're a little bit lighter. So I hope you'll stay tuned. We have to take a break. We'll be right back right after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Freeborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. By letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance of life doubles. I tell you about that every time we talk, but I just want to tell you again and hope that you will support in the very most generous way that you can Preborn. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's Preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
Well, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week on AFR, and it's August 5th to the 11th. And what we are asking is that you help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America. AFR and Revival Fires International are partnering to provide the only hope for teens as they return to school. Help us reach a generation of young people and get the Word of God back into the public schools through the distribution of the popular Truth for Youth Bible to teens across our nation. In these troubled times, our young people really need hope. They need Jesus, and they need God's Word. Through the distribution of the Truth for Youth Bible, our Christian teenagers are becoming soul winners. We are getting God's Word back in America's public schools, and thousands of young people are giving their life to Christ. Here's how it goes. Revival Fires International is giving one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who promised to pass it along to a friend this school year. The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths. The Truth for Youth Bible is now available in Spanish. Over 1 million Truth for Youth have already been given away in the past 20 years as a result of this project. Thousands of young people have received Christ, more than 25,000 over the last 20 years. Our goal this year is 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens. Parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter, or teens can call to get one. You can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. And this is how you do it. You can visit TFY, Truth for Youth, TFY.org. You can order there anytime, or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-538-8890 between 8:30 and 4:30 Central Standard Time. So, bottom line, they will send you a free Bible if your teen will promise to give it away at school. Give it away to someone. And if you want a larger quantity, they're $2 each, and you can do that by going to tfy.org and order, or you can call 844-530-8890. So that's how it works. It's a great, great way. And really, wouldn't have the days ever been more dreadful. Our kids are depressed. There's so much suicide. They need hope. Just like us, they need Jesus. So visit TFY.org. That's TFY.org.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. And we're trying to make these dreadful topics as joyous as we can. You know, it's interesting. I was watching that Kamala Harris, her first rally with Tim Walz. It was last night in real time here. Somebody said that she was bringing the joy back. Kamala is bringing the joy back. And the place is rocking. And it's lots of young people. And they're so happy and they're waving signs. And the joy won't last too long once they implement their policies. I'll just say that. It's such a deception. It really is. Which brings me to this email. This is another part of Allison's email, another question. She has a daughter. Her oldest daughter is Emma. And she said she's going to be starting her third year at Liberty University in just a few weeks. She's been interning at my old organization, Concerned Women for America, this summer. And so she said, if you have any words of advice for Emma, I know she would covet your wisdom. She is a government and policy, public policy major with a minor in journalism. She's very driven. She's not shy about loving the Lord and our country. She said, she's met some even at Liberty who just don't take women seriously, especially when it comes to being involved in politics and current affairs. How have you navigated all of these years in the inner workings of politics? No doubt God has guided and directed your steps, and yes, that's true. Okay, so let me go backwards here, Allison. First of all, in regard to not being taken seriously as a woman, if I had to kind of analyze, I never, if you've read my book, God's Velvet Hammer, you'll see that I'm not a feminist. I was never pushing for something because of my gender. I think whatever favor God has given me in that, and he has given me favor because I've always had audiences that were just as many men as women. I don't know about the numbers, but you could tell from the callers. It wasn't a woman's show by a long shot, and I was, God has put me in I worked with men most of my life. And I think one thing to do in regard to that is work really hard at what you're doing. I think obviously your daughter, it sounds like she's doing exactly that. And also don't think so much about your gender. Don't be conscious of it when you're in conversations. If people want to act weird toward you or dismiss you, that's their problem. I don't think you should demand that they listen, and I don't think that you should power up or that you should whine and play the women card. I wouldn't do that, ever. Just be good. Be smart. Know what you're talking about. Prepare yourself. And then that knowledge will carry you. It will just carry. If God wants you in this business, if you want to call it a business, in this arena, then he's going to use you. But stop thinking about your femaleness and thinking that that's a disadvantage or seeing people as dismissing you. Who cares, really? In the final analysis, it's not going to make any difference because if God wants to give you a strong position, he's going to give it to you. So I just wouldn't think about it in those terms. If you were on the football field and they were can't disregard you because you're a woman, that would be a different answer. But you can do this and you can bring your wisdom that God has given you through his word to what you're doing, and that will just increase because it's God's power. It's God's power. What else would I say? I would just say, do what you're doing. Stay in the Word. Don't get carried away with titles, your degree, your background, and don't get carried away with the issues, which is so tempting to do that. Oh, boy. Well, do I know that. But always, you know, the Bible in one hand and current events in the other. And the Bible, you know, bigger Bible than current events. Keep it balanced because otherwise you will get imbalanced and you'll lose your perspective. And then your advice and your wisdom and your commentary will be worthless. It'll be no different than, you know, on secular commentaries. Stay close to him and you'll have God can use you. So, Allison, thanks. That's just great. And I love the pictures you sent. So thank you. And I will pray for you. When God brings you and Emma to mind, you bet you'll have my prayers. Okay, sweetheart, you got something about a young man, right?
I do. Sandy, something I think that's bothering a lot of people is they're young people. Their children are voting, some for the first time, and they're very confused about Donald Trump. So we got this from Brian, and it's entitled Voting as a Christian. Hello, Sandy. Want you to know how much I appreciate you and your show. I'm writing for some help regarding the upcoming presidential election. My son is eligible to vote for the first time, and he says as a Christian, he thinks he can't vote for Trump. And Brian says he's a young idealist. And it continues, I've tried to tell him that you have to vote for the best available option, and that not voting is the same as voting for the worst choice. Part of the problem is he gets his news from Google searches and Reddit. And at the moment, these actually seem to believe that Kamala Harris is more moral than Trump. Though I suspect you have done a show on this dilemma for Christians for past Trump elections, would you be able to point me to a podcast or an article that I could share with him and his fiance, who seems to be in the same camp? Thank you, Brian.
Okay, well, let me give it a stab here, Brian. You know, if I had a son, which I do, but my son's older than that, if I had a son who was just starting out, I would have to have a hard talk with him. I am going to give you a podcast suggestion in just a second. We talk about this in general all the time. In fact, on this show, we've just, the first part of this email, we sort of laid it out about voting for Trump, but not for a young person specifically. I would point, if he had a fiance now, or if my son did, I wish I had your son's name, because I wish I could sit down and talk to him, because I would like to explain to him that the economy is a huge consideration when you're voting right now. And in many ways, it's moral. It's a moral issue, because when you spend into oblivion and hand to your children a debt, which is, I think, $36 trillion right now, it's unconscionable, because what that means, young son of Brian, is that you will probably never be able to own a home if this continues. You'll probably have problems finding a job. There's no manufacturing here. There's nothing creative going on here. Small businesses have suffered so much under the Biden administration. There are rules and regulations that hamstring them and make it impossible for them to do business and really earn a profit. And that means that they can't do business, and then they can't hire you. And so I'm trying to make it easy, but let me just say the economy is on the rocks. If you're depending on Google and Reddit, that's not the best source. Google has an opinion about what's happening globally. And I just right now, today, I'm trying to pull up an article that a friend of mine wrote on this Project 25, which I'm sure you've, or 26, I'm 25. I'm sure you've heard about it and you think it's horrible. Well, if I could let you read this article, but I can't find it on Google. And that's just one example of what we're facing. See, you don't know what you're missing because they're not showing you. And that's what you, there's like an alternative universe when it comes to Google and Reddit. There's so many other sources of information. You're going to hear things that you never heard before and you're not aware of.
You know, and it's hard sometimes as parents to convince kids that the social media really is so biased. But if you want to take a view from an independent source, just yesterday, Google was in federal antitrust court trying to defend themselves as not being a trust. In other words, a monopoly. And the court found that they are a monopoly and that 95% of the searches being done online for any kind of topic is handled by Google. And if you go to Google and enter Donald Trump economic plan, it will not send you to the Donald Trump economic plan. It will redirect you to the Kamala Harris economic plan.
So there's a lot of things that you don't know as a young man, if those are your sources. That's the case for not just young people, but all Americans. That's why we're in such trouble right now, one of the many reasons. You also, if you're getting married, you got to think about health care. And Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, I just heard them say this yesterday in the rally, they want to expand the Affordable Care Act. That's Obamacare. Now, that might sound good to you because you're young, and that means your insurance has been very cheap. But what that means is, and please stay with me, technically having insurance on a piece of paper, you're covered, you have insurance, you're covered, is very different from what you're covered for and how much they'll pay. And what we've seen already with affordable care as older people with families is that it costs an arm and a leg. Families are having to work so hard to pay their premiums, and then not much is covered. Now, just think about that. I don't have time to go into it, but this is what's going to happen. They're also extending health care to illegal immigrants. And now you probably are old enough to understand that if we add, we are estimating 30 million illegal immigrants are in the country now. So if the pool of money that covers your medical bills is going to be shared with an additional, I'm just using the word that we, or the number that we have available, the surmise 30 million illegal immigrants here, if that's going to be spread between what's covered now, all the people covered now, and those extra 30 million, think about what that means. Just think about it. See, this is the other thing that, we're talking about Marxism, which you may have heard in school, you may have studied it. It sounds really good because it wants everything to be equal, and it talks about how the rich are getting everything and the poor are so disadvantaged, and the middle class is disadvantaged. It's the rich, they're our enemies. Marxism does that. It sets people against them, creates class systems, and puts them at war against each other. But I can tell you, if you could just trust me, I don't know if you've been to Russia when it was the Soviet Union, or if you have been into China to feel the oppression there, or if you've been to North Korea, as I have, and seen what socialism, communism means, you would not want to vote for two people who are communists. Now, I'm going to talk more about Tim Walz and his communist background in a different podcast because I don't have time to go into it today, but we're learning about his contacts with Red China. It's frightening. And with Kamala Harris, her parents are identified Marxists. If you know anything about this, I'm begging you, you do not want to enter your married life and your young, all the joys of marriage, the joys of having children, the joys of starting a family and providing for them, buying a home, buying a car, getting a job. This stuff is going to be gone. It's almost gone now. And if we elect two Marxists who embrace the Marxist view, like as Kamala would say, it's equity. Everything has to be equitable. You have to end up in the same place. That's what she says. And what that means is that everybody ends up in poverty, without insurance, without a place to live, living, barely living. In most communist countries, millions have died from starvation and other reasons. So just, if you don't trust me, then look it up, but don't look it up on Google. Go to a different source. And one last thing, I do have a podcast to recommend. I just interviewed a young man who's young like you. He's working on his PhD at Columbia. He's Venezuelan. And we talked about what's happened in Venezuela, who are suffering because of their communist leadership. And so that's going to air in a few days. And it's a young man named Daniel DiMartino. That's what I recommend to you. One thing he told us, that in Venezuela right now, they've set up checkpoints and they're taking your cell phone. That's what they're taking. And they're downloading, they're looking through your messages, through your apps, everything to see if you had corresponded with anyone they object to on any topic they object to, and then you are treated accordingly. Jail, prison, fine, whatever. So if that's what you want your future to be, then you can vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz because that's what we're looking at. And I think we have one last cheerful thing. Oh, Lord have mercy.
I think we need to lighten the mood a little bit
here. I do too.
Well, one thing I want to say is we can't have a show like this without a shout out to Chicago Joe. And while I'm not going to read his email, I do thank him for his email and the photos he sent.
Yeah, they were great. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Thank you.
So anyway, Craig sends us a rather funny thing. He entitles it Liberal Media Headlines. And here's his liberal media headline. J.D. Vance spoiled as grandma acknowledges she spent all of her money on him.
Didn't have any money. They were hungry, yeah. But all that she had, she spent on him.
So I started thinking about this, and I thought maybe I'd try to come up with a few on my own. Don't shoot me if they're not
okay,
that
all
great.
Okay, all right.
Trump exposes Secret Service agents to gun violence at Pennsylvania rally. Kamala Harris high on supporting marijuana farming.
Yeah, she's a... No, I didn't laugh like her. How does she laugh?
I'm glad you can't laugh.
I'm working on it.
Now, this would be a dark one, but...
Okay.
Harris Walz helps mothers deliver babies before getting too large. I'm sorry, that's not. That's
okay,
bad.
Bruce,
that's
rather
a bad one.
The queen of abortion will actually do that, though.
Yes, she will. Yeah. They haven't met an abortion they don't love. It's while we're laughing, it's very serious. And anyway, another one could be Trump bleeds on Secret Service agents, putting them in danger.
Well, we could go, if this were live radio, I'd open the phone lines and we'd be in stitches because people would be calling up with their own headlines, but you get the message. Honey, thank you.
Thank you.
And listen to all of you. These are difficult times. I started the show with my perspective on this, and I'll end it by just saying, just get in God's word. I was just reading this morning in Luke, and just the joy of the power of Jesus. It talks about him being filled with the Holy Spirit and the power, how the demons shuddered. They knew who he was. We know who you are. You're the Son of God. And they trembled. They begged him not to cast them out. Don't bother us, please. Get away from us. And this is the kind of power. The Holy Spirit in Jesus, and I know it sounds a strange way, but that's how Luke actually put it. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So don't be faint-hearted. Those of you that are followers of Jesus, you're serious about it. The filling of the Spirit, if we allow it, cleanse our hearts and our minds and allow God to use us, can give us that same kind of strength and power as we face the days to come. Well, I want to thank Bruce. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I want to thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan is the place where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.